We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless us now by your Holy Spirit as we meditate upon a small part of your word, and open our hearts and make them receptive to the instruction and comfort which you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin, as we normally do, by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. We're having a very special service today. It's something we do every year. It's called a nature retreat, and we're up here at a little village or city of Tremplo. We spent much of the morning hiking in the beautiful, beautiful bluffs here in God's country and in Pearl State Park, and enjoy the beauties of God's creation. And then we come back, have a potluck meal. We've had a Bible study for some of the afternoon, and now we're closing with a little meditation on one section, a little part of God's creation. I'm not much affected by anniversaries, but today I guess it kind of hit me that 35 years ago today, almost to the day, I preached my first sermon in the ministry up at Woodman Hall in Duluth in a room that was about kind of like this. It didn't have the fish and the mounts and stuff on it, but it was about the same size. We didn't have as many people there then. I had a small mission. I think it was 17 people, something like that, when we started out. And now 35 years later, I'm about the same type of a situation, only a much happier one as far as I'm concerned. And this is the 10th time that we've had a nature retreat. 10 years ago, I was wondering, is there anybody here that today that happened to be here 10 years ago, 1981? Yeah, some members of my family were. My wife was. That's anybody else? Ralph probably was. Now, some of you, I think you've been here for just about all. I think Bill's has been here for 9 out of the 10, is that right? Something like that. And so it's kind of a very happy time where we invite people that we've come in contact with through our ministry during the past years, and come to have a very, very special day of fellowship and study of the Word. And we generally look into the volume, what we call the volume of nature, and choose one thing from God's creation and kind of look at it a little bit and see what we can glean from it. Our text kind of is the departure, I suppose we would say, is from Job chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9, where Job writes this: "Ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not that in all these things the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" The more I've studied Scripture, the more I've come to realize that there is a very, very close connection between the natural world and the spiritual. And so often, the truths that we see are spelled out in Holy Scripture are played out for us almost in parable form in nature. And the Son of God more than hinted at this several times. Consider the birds of the air, or the wild flowers of the field. He's constantly making reference to the creation that he was involved in with the Holy Spirit and his Father. Now, there are things in nature that teach us a lot about God, a lot about the devil. Scripture divides animals into clean animals and unclean. Now, there are some animals in the creation that have characteristics that very much remind us of the Lord God, and others that remind us of his enemy, the devil. This past week we've had ample example of how the devil can work, and the presence of evil in this world, all centered finally in one being called Lucifer and his wicked ones. When we look at the devil, there are two dangers that we're prone to. The first danger would be learning too much about him. That can be very dangerous. I'm talking about going to the occult. And I remember one time we had a professor at the seminary who was commissioned to write a book on, it was called Wizards That Peep, on the occult. And I can remember him telling us when he was finished that he would never do it again. And if you'd known what it involved, you wouldn't have done it the first time. Too dangerous, too scary. It's not a good thing to follow the tracks of the enemy too closely. That's one danger. The other danger is the opposite extreme of not knowing enough about the enemy that you and I have. And today we're going to do a little bit of looking in the volume of nature and a few of the things in Scripture to reveal what Scripture tells us about the enemy that we have and how he works. There are two animals in the history of this world that are special characterizations of the devil. And they're both found in the book of Job. One is a monster called Behemoth, the dinosaurs that once roamed the earth. He's on the land. And then there was a sea dragon or monster called Leviathan, and he inhabited the seas. So I think these two, Behemoth and Leviathan, more than any other creatures in the world, teach us something about the devil. The most comforting lesson that these two teach us is that they are extinct. They're gone. And I think that's very meaningful, that the two creatures that most portray Satan and his power are gone. The same way he will one day be gone also, taken from the face of the earth and fired down into the pit. There is another creature that, in my opinion, and I didn't know this half a year ago, it reminds me more of the devil than any other creature that I've ever studied. And that's an innocent-looking thing called the octopus. A few facts about him. His scientific name is Octopus vulgaris. And a nickname, which I found out as I started studying the octopus, it became a fascinating creature to study. And the more I studied it, the more I thought, you know, this thing reminds me an awful lot of the devil. And then I found out that the nickname of the octopus is the devilfish. The devilfish. 135 different species of these things, some of them only a few inches large, others grow up to 25 feet. They all have eight arms that radiate from the central part of their body. These arms are equipped with rows of suckers that are poisonous, and they grip. And they pull their enemy into them, and they hold them until they poison them. Most of them live in shallow water. Some of them are found in the depths of the ocean. They hunt under the darkness of night. Now, there's one characteristic above all of this octopus that is extremely striking and mysterious, and that is the eyes. It's what's called the soulful eyes that gave the devilfish, or the octopus, its nickname of the devilfish. The thing that's mysterious about these eyes is that they're as close to being human as they possibly could be. There's no other creature in the sea that has eyes as close to the human eye as the octopus. And it seems so out of place. It seems grotesque to find something as close as a human eye as this thing is, with a kind of a body that it's got. These eyes are capable of expressing emotion. They can show joy. They can show happiness. They can show sadness. They can show rage. And they can show anger. And it all seems so out of place with this weird, grotesque kind of a body that they have. I can't prove this. It's just my own idea. But I have a feeling that something changed here. It's not the way it was at the beginning. We know that when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the whole creation was affected. Before that, there was no death anywhere. After that, the world has been filled with death. And of our Savior, it says that when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he was with the wild beasts. Well, Adam was not with the wild beasts in the beginning because they weren't wild. No death at all. Something happened. We're not guessing that something happened with Satan, with the serpent. The serpent at one time very likely was the most beautiful of all the animal creation. And the curse was, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And now, especially women, usually can't stand the sight of a serpent. The devil was described in Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 12. Listen to the description and how it all ended up. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the one that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? That made the earth as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? And that opened not the house of his prisoners? Drastic change took place in that serpent. I just have a feeling that the same thing took place in the octopus. It looks like a mistake in nature. The octopus is a very, very intelligent creature. The eyes show it. But the body is weird and grotesque. Psalm 104, verse 25 says this, so is the great and wide sea, wherein are things innumerable, both small and great beasts. Some people feel that the octopus is one of the creeping things here that the psalm writer is talking about. There are very, very strong warnings in Scripture against creeping things. A story one time about a museum where they had some very rare lobsters. These things were prized to everybody that took care of them. And then one week they got an octopus. And the octopus was a favor with children, except, you know, have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen an octopus, a live octopus? I never have. From what I've read, if you were to stand for 10 minutes and watch an octopus, the feeling that you would walk away with is one of fear. It all comes from those eyes and that grotesque body. These people took this octopus and they put it in an open tank. And they displayed it next to this tank with the rare lobsters in. Next morning they came in, looked in the tank. The octopus was gone. Where did they find him? In the tank with the lobsters. And three of their prized lobsters were dead. So they removed the octopus, put him in a different kind of a tank that had a cover on it. The only openings were air holes that were a half inch thick. That was it. A half inch across. Next morning they came back, the octopus was gone.
found them in the lobster tank again with another dead lobster. It's four of their prized lobsters now are gone. They couldn't figure out what was happening. Somebody sneaking in there and taking that thing out and put it in another cage. So that night, the janitor stayed all night and watched. He saw this great big octopus squeeze through an opening that was a half inch thick. Creeping, creeping things mysteriously getting in. The octopus has a beak. It's the only hard part of his body. If he can get his beak in it through a hole, he can ultimately squeeze his whole body. He can make his body almost paper-like thin. One man saw a 65-pound octopus squeeze through a one-half-inch opening. It's almost unbelievable. I can't help but think of Jude verse 4. There are certain men who are crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And you know, this is the way the devil does it. The devil likes to creep in. And this has been the story of the church from the very beginning, over and over and over and over again. These guys are called false prophets. You can't keep them out. You can't keep them out. They're the greatest danger that we have. The octopus has these tentacles, 8 of them. Sap the life out of the ones that they engulf. And it's kind of a picture of how the devil does it with the things of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul is writing Timothy just before he dies. He's warning his young minister friend. He says, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Be very, very careful then that you don't become too involved in this life. You're living for another one, and you're serving Jesus Christ, and he's at war with the world, and the world's at war with him, and there's no agreement here. If the world hated him, it's going to hate his people too. We've got to be ready for that. Octopuses are filled with poison. They have a poisonous gland. And what they do is they grab something with the tentacles, then they pierce it with the beak, puncture a hole in it, and spit the poison in there. Within a minute or two, the victim is completely paralyzed. I couldn't help but think of that scene as it unfolded out there in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 21. People were out there going toward the promised land, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore had you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." The word "light" there sometimes is translated "worthless." You know what that worthless bread was? It was manna that came down from heaven every morning. Bible calls it angel's food. It's a picture of the Word of God if ever there was one. And these people say, "We're sick of this stuff. This worthless bread that comes down, we don't want it." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the people died. You don't want the bread, you're going to get the serpents. You don't want spiritual food, you're going to get poisoned. You want it, you've got it. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned.'" Well, they had that right. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord, we pray, that he may take the fire and the serpents from us." And Moses prayed to the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Instead of pole, let's say cross. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a cross. And it came to pass that if any serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And this is what the Lord had in mind when he said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there is a remedy to this poison. Now, one of the characteristics of the octopus is how fast it multiplies. An octopus, one female octopus, can multiply 50,000 different eggs within a period of 10 days, 7 to 10 days. Where you used to have one, now you've got 50,000. They multiply even better, bigger than more than rabbits. Multiply like octopuses. Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and deceive men. The same way, it's just like the devil. They come numerous. Now, when a baby octopus is hatched, I guess you'd call it hatched, once in a shell, this is an amazing thing, if you can see it. I've just read about it. I've never seen that. The tiny embryo, I'm going to read a little bit, I just want to get it wrong. The tiny embryo has color sacs in the skin. Some of them are orange, some of them are red, some of them yellow, some of them blue. And as the little octopus is fighting its way out of the egg, these sacs start flashing. And they flash all different colors, red, white, blue, green, orange. It looks like a 4th of July celebration. And you can just think what they must be thinking. We're free! We've got our freedom! And that's what the devil likes his people to think, that they're free. They're not. Think they are. They're not. They're blinded by the devil. They don't even know it. Now, the octopus has this amazing ability of turning different colors almost at a split second. He can go from black to orange to white to red to green in a second by somehow expanding these sacs that he's got. An adult octopus can have as many as 2 million of these tiny spots of color spread over its body. They can adapt to their surroundings so you can't see them. They camouflage themselves. I don't know of another animal that can do it like this. And it aids them in hunting for food. Imagine that. Same thing is true of the devil. He does the same thing. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 has this, 13 and 14. For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now the octopus also uses this camouflage to defend himself from his enemies. He has a pouch of black liquid in his body. When he's attacked, he'll spread this liquid out to make it look just like he is, in the same shape. And then, in a split second, he changes to white. And the predator that was attacking the octopus sees this black liquid and goes at that while the octopus is getting away. And the enemy doesn't even know it. It's just unbelievable, satanic. I don't know of another animal in all creation that's like this guy. It's scary. And it's little wonder that people that look at him, and it gets back to those eyes again. It's almost human eyes. could display all this different emotion, and yet under a grotesque body, just seems to be a mistake, showing anger, hatred. And when he does, he turns all red. Well, there's good news involved in this too. The octopus is very intelligent. And he's got eyes that are almost human. But they're not quite human. Because God has made these eyes so that they're incapable of seeing certain patterns. Now, the octopus, in other words, he can see a lot, but he doesn't get the whole picture. There are some things that the octopus does not see. Now, we could almost say, eyes have they, but they see not. And the things they miss are usually important. Right, like the devil. You know, the devil is very intelligent, very powerful. But you can always bank on one thing. The devil is always going to make the most stupid mistake that is possible to make. That's been his history. He does it every single time. When the Son of God came into this world, what he should have done is took all of his wicked angels and said, "You protect this man. I don't want any harm to come to him. I don't want his bloodshed." That's what he should have done. Instead, he was the instrument to shed the blood. Stupid mistake you possibly could make. That's what the devil does. He's known for that. Now, thank God. The octopus also needs a lot of rest. He can't go for a full blast for a whole day. He's got to sleep. And while he's sleeping, his eyes aren't seeing things. Kind of just the contrast of what you have in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." Now there's another piece of good news. The octopus is one of the creatures that God created. Octopus is not eternal. He wasn't there in the beginning. He was created by God. And that's the way it was with the devil too. Ezekiel chapter 28 tells us that. I'm going to start reading with verse 11. I'm in Ezekiel chapter 28. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." And as we read further, you're going to see that that's a reference to the devil. Now, the opening of the chapter talked about the prince of Tyrus. That was the human prince. Now we're talking about the king of Tyrus, the one who's controlling him. That's the devil. "Take up a lamentation and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." I believe this tells us that the devil, when he was created, was the most beautiful of all the angels. That changed. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the mountain, the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found." Twice he mentions that. You were created. And that leads us to the final thing. The Creator is not controlled by the creature. It's the creature who's controlled by the Creator. We've got examples of that in Scripture. Jesus went across to the country of the Gadarenes. There were two men living in those tombs. Extremely vicious. They could not be held by chains. They came running upon Christ and the disciples. They saw Jesus Christ. What did they say? They cried out saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before the time?" You know, very often, a child of God gets extremely comforting words from the mouth of the enemy. The demons didn't say, "We're going to fight against you." They didn't say, "Are you going to come here to try and torment us?" They said, "Are you come here to torment us before the time?" They know they're going to be tormented. They know that. The battle's already over. It's already been won. They knew that. And this was said before Jesus Christ even died on the cross, by the way. The Son of God is not going to fail on His mission. They know that. The devil knows that. And His wicked ones know that too. And they admit it. One characteristic of the octopus, one final one. The octopus literally can be scared to death. He can be frightened to death. He's very intelligent. It's in these eyes. But his system is so sensitive that if he's treated roughly, he gets frightened to death. He dies. Very important, isn't it? Very important. Exactly like the devil. God gives us the promise, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Stand up, fight against him, because finally he's going to turn chicken and he's going to hightail it out. What weapon do you have to fight with? The same weapon that the Son of God used and gave to you. How did Jesus Christ defeat the devil? When he was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and the devil came to tempt him. It is written. That's all you need. Start shooting out Bible passages at. You study Scripture. You meditate upon the Word of God. You pray for the Holy Spirit. The devil's not going to be able to stick around. He'll make his little attacks on you. But he can't stick around. He can be frightened to death. Thank God for the octopus. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have revealed to us how powerful our enemy really is, but also how weak he is. And you've given us the weapon with which to defeat him, and that is the Holy Spirit working through the Word which you've given us. And we pray that for each one of your elect, you will guide us deeper and deeper into Scripture, make it the priority of our life, the one thing needful, as you've said, that we may grow in grace and finally overcome the wicked one himself and all of his evil spirits with him in the world in which we're living, and enter with you into your eternal kingdom of glory. I pray this in your name. Amen.